So it was always a million degrees below zero when we'd go out at night to drop off the stuff, but we didn't care. And I just have some really great memories of doing that tradition.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. A few years ago, I took the plunge and did one of those DNA tests where you find out your ancestry. And guess what? Well, I'm still Swedish. I knew that going into it. I knew that coming out of it. No big surprises. Although, I'll admit that I was hoping that some, I don't know, Latin American sort of snuck in there, but alas, I guess I'm an IKEA girl through and through. But one huge perk of being Swedish is that I get to claim the Yule goat as part of my Christmas ancestry. At Christmas time, Swedes put these cute straw goats in their homes, usually near the Christmas tree, as a beloved symbol of the holiday. One Swedish town takes this to the next level and constructs a giant Yule goat. I mean, like a 40 to 50 foot tall Yule goat in their town square. Unfortunately, this giant straw goat usually gets torched by vandals before Christmas arrives. I mean, tell me you're a Viking without telling me you're a Viking, right? Well, we've never built a giant Yule goat at our house for Christmas, but there is a tradition that my late husband started. When I was dating Christopher back in the 1990s, he took me to his home for a piano concert. He really played it down as a last-minute casual, you know, something he had just thought of. He said something like, "Well, my mom makes me play songs on the piano based on a theme she gives me each year. Do you want to come? Come and listen to my almost boyfriend?" Yes, obviously. And I remember that first concert very clearly. It wasn't casual. There were chairs lined up in a small living room with the couches poised around in rows. There were dimmed lights and family members, grandparents even, all dressed up. There was a program. There was an introduction and theme. There were fancy treats waiting in the next room for when the concert was over. And then there was Christopher playing. If I weren't already in love with him, that piano concert sealed the deal. The dimmed lights, the sparkle of the Christmas tree, the beautiful grand piano that only he played, the attentive guests. He played everything beautifully, and that's an understatement. It was emotional and full of musicality from a pianist, not someone who played the piano. I could see why everyone, a family of football players and hunters, showed up and happily listened to Christopher, their brother, son, grandson, play. As the years went on, we continued this tradition. Each Christmas, Christopher's mom would tell him the theme. "This year is the shepherd," or "This year is light. I have my scriptures and poems ready. You practice the songs." Listening to the program was a highlight for the Christmas season, like picking out our tree or getting the kids in their jammies and driving around to look at Christmas lights. It became a tradition as ordinary as wrapping presents and placing them under the Christmas tree. But as we all know, traditions are not just about keeping. They're also about adjusting. While they always seem to be around from year to year, they're also always evolving. My husband isn't here to play his Christmas music anymore, but we found a way to still keep his tradition alive, and I'll tell you more about that at the end of the show. The past two episodes, we've been talking about the art of celebrating better and how to do it simply with more joy. With Christmas on the horizon, I'm sure there are some traditions we'd like to keep doing, but there may be traditions that we'd like to simplify or change. We may even be looking to add a tradition or two to make our family celebrations more meaningful and memorable. Well, today's episode is all about helping us in that journey. We are going to share traditions from around the world, from listeners young and old, to get you in the mood to celebrate this season. Our guests have all picked a favorite Christmas tradition to share with you. And what I love about all these stories is that they are intentional, they are simple, and they are full of joy. Everything we've been hoping to emphasize here on The Lisa Show. I can't think of a better way to honor the birth of our Savior. So without further ado, here is what Christmas traditions look like for some of our friends.
I get my kids an ornament that they open on Thanksgiving that we then decorate that reflects their year. But my kids' favorite ornaments are the year. I got them picture frames. I could not figure out what to get them. And they were supposed to put a picture in. It just has the date and no pictures. And the kids are like, we are never putting pictures in the empty picture frames. It's the lamest. And they crack up every year. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's that because it starts the conversation.
My favorite tradition that maybe not all families do is we started when our children were very little, putting books at the bottom of their beds when they were sleeping. We thought that that was important to fill our house with good books and to associate Christmas morning delight with the discovering of some new literary treasure.
A tradition that is specific to my family is every Christmas morning we make Ebbleskivers. They're like pancake balls kind of, anyway, and we just dip them in butter and then like granulated sugar. And this tradition started when my grandpa was in the Air Force and he was in Europe and he picked it up. And we've made it every Christmas that I've been growing up. And it's my favorite part of Christmas morning. Like instead of going to open my presents, I go to the kitchen.
My favorite Christmas tradition is one that I actually stole from my wife's family. In my wife's family, they keep the kids all locked in a room until it's time to open presents in the morning. And then they have them come out and one by one say their name, their age, and say, and I'm excited, it's Christmas. And you film it and they go one by one. And the thing that we added is we tape up with wrapping paper the door that you get through. And so they have to run through the wrapping paper after they do that. And it just creates a fun and joyful moment and anticipation for the kids.
Every year for Christmas, my family gets a permit from the Forest Service and we hike up in the mountains and we chop down our own Christmas tree. And we're not talking like a 4 foot, 5 foot Christmas tree because you can get any size you want. So we're talking like 8, 9 foot, 10 foot tall for our peaked ceiling front room. And then we have to carry it down the mountain, sometimes a mile or more, which is absolutely brutal, but it's a whole family affair. Squishing it down, getting it inside the house without leaving streaks of sap along the walls. And finally, when we have it up in our living room and it's fastened upright with wire attached to bookshelves and little wooden posts supporting it, it is so beautiful. It fills up the whole front room with just this rich evergreen smell. And I love that.
One tradition that we used to do for Christmas is we would make sugar cookies and then we'd always try to pick like super unique shapes. It could have been something from Lord of the Rings, just whatever we kind of wanted. And we'd go to people's houses and do Christmas caroling. And yeah, it was something that was a lot of fun.
For Christmas, we make Luma Marias. How you make a Luma Maria is that you get a paper bag, you draw a picture, and you put a candle on it. Luminarias are a symbol of Mary and Joseph to light their way on the path for Jesus to get born.
A Christmas tradition that I enjoy, my family has been singing Christmas carols around what we call a candle wreath. So every night we light the candles. That's kind of a version of other traditions that we made our own, and everyone gets to go around the table and choose their own carol. We have some books on the table that people choose from. And so we love that. So we do that every night after Thanksgiving up until Christmas.
One of our family's favorite Christmas traditions actually grew out of a little moment of heartbreak for my oldest daughter. When she was 3, so this is over 20 years ago, we were at a Christmas party on Christmas Eve, and she got a red helium balloon, and she was thrilled. As we walked outside to go home and walked into the cold night air, she gasped and lost her grip on the ribbon of the balloon, and that balloon just floated up and up and up into the night sky, and her little heart kept breaking and she became more filled with despair as it floated away. But we had a realization that Santa would be in his sleigh that night up in that sky. And we wondered if he might be able to catch that balloon and bring it back to her. And In fact, he was able to magically catch the balloon in the sky in his sleigh. And on Christmas morning, Santa had returned the red helium balloon tied to my daughter's stocking. And so that was so exciting that we've kept that ritual going with all of our kids for all of these years. Each Christmas Eve, our kids still let helium balloons go up into the sky. Each child has their own color of balloon. And now that they're older, they'll even tie a little thank you note to Santa and they let it go. And then on Christmas morning, Santa has gathered all the balloons in his sleigh in the sky, and he's brought them back down and tied them to the kids' stockings. And he'll sometimes even leave a note and tell the kids where he found the balloons and the things that he's proud of in terms of what they've accomplished this year and things like that. So one of our favorite rituals came out of a little moment of heartbreak, and it's turned into a moment of magic for us.
We gather our children and now grandchildren. We go to the Christmas tree lot, pick out a tree. We pick up Chinese food. And then we go home, set up the tree, and then sit and eat the Chinese food while we watch A Christmas Story.
One of my favorite Christmas traditions is making candy with my mom. This is something my mom did with my grandma growing up. And my grandma made candy with her parents too. The recipes we use are the same ones my grandma and great-grandparents use. So after Thanksgiving, my mom starts making Christmas candy, and I get to help. It's really fun. We make caramels, toffee, divinity, fudge, and other yummy cookies. Sometimes the candy has to cook for a long time, so we take turns stirring. I love licking the bowl after and eating the candy, but my favorite part is actually when we put together the plates of all the candies and treats we make and take them to the neighbors and friends. We all pile in the car and my sisters and I take the plates to each door. I love seeing how happy they are when we give it to them.
A Christmas tradition that my family and I have is that we do tons of puzzles around Christmas time. We'll do 1,000-piece puzzles together. So that's just the way we get to spend time together.
My family is from Norway and Denmark. One unique tradition, it's a Scandinavian tradition that my family has, is every Christmas we make little paper woven hearts.
On Christmas Eve, we have a dinner that is similar to what Mary and Joseph may have had on the night that Christ was born. And so it's simple, but I love it because it helps me remember the spirit of Christ and to remember him.
On the first snowfall that sticks on the ground, we make ginger snap cookies. It makes the snow and cold something the kids actually celebrate. They've told me that if they see the snow stick wherever they are that day, they instantly know that we're gonna have cookies.
Back home in Chile, we're used to opening the presents at midnight. That's when Santa Claus comes to Chile. And my mom would always say, oh, kids, you should go outside and look for Santa Claus and see if he's around. And we'd go and do that. And then when we came back, the gifts were there, ready to be opened.
And a fun tradition that we have as a family is actually to go swimming every Christmas Eve. There's a wave pool about 2 hours from our house. And so we always go there and we play together as a family all day. Then we come home and read the Christmas story before going to bed for Christmas. So I always look forward to that and know what we're going to do Christmas Eve and have that opportunity to spend time with our family. And it's super special.
We choose a day in December to do a hot cocoa stand. We make signs and a ton of hot cocoa, plus some treats. We don't charge any money, but only ask for donations for charity. I love doing the hot cocoa stand every year because it is a wonderful thing to do.
A Christmas tradition that I think is special to me is every year we go and pay for someone's groceries, a family's groceries, who's behind us in line or somebody who we think could use a little bit of goodwill and charity during the holiday season. And we always keep it anonymous. And I'm sure that other people have this tradition as well. But for me, it's very special because it teaches that you don't always need outside validation for your good deeds. And what really matters is what you look like in the eyes of Heavenly Father.
I'm from Italy. We have like a big family dinner. And my go-to dish that my grandma always makes is called ripieno. So it's like turkey with filling, but the filling is so good. You just put it together, do some parmesan, parmigiano, reggiano, si dice. And you just do that with lots of like little starters, little hams. We call it salumi. And then after that, straight away, there's always like a passeggiata you do at night. So that's traditional too. We eat the big dinner and then we have a walk.
My older sister Becca always took charge and would write up a schedule for Christmas morning. It consisted on when to wake up, when we got to go downstairs to look at our Christmas presents, and when we would do all the various entertainments we had planned to pass the time. We would wake up as early as 4 or 5 in the morning. And then we would sing Christmas songs, eat breakfast, play games, and sit in anticipation until it was time for us to go downstairs and peek at our Christmas presents. So to prepare for this, at least a week or two before Christmas, my sisters and I would hold a secret meeting to discuss all of our plans so that we could make all the necessary preparations. We would sneak things into Becca's closet, like the Christmas Carol book, so that we could sing songs at 5:30 in the morning. And then there was always breakfast. It was always on the schedule. At one point, we brought a cooler and stuff for cereal and ate cereal in her bedroom. Another point of preparation was wandering up and down the hallway and up and down the stairs to find all the places where the floor creaked, and we would mark them with little pieces of paper or tape so that we could avoid waking up our parents as we snuck downstairs to peek at our Christmas presents. What makes this tradition so near and dear to my heart is not the beautiful presents. It was the time spent conspiring and planning with my sisters. We don't always get along, but in this, we were always united.
The best tradition that we have is when our family piles into the car and flips on Johnny Mathis's 1958 album, Merry Christmas, and we drive all around and look for the best houses with the best Christmas lights while we listen to the music, and hopefully, if we're lucky, while the snow falls around us. That's one of our favorite traditions that I think I'm gonna pass along for as long as I can.
Every year on Christmas Eve, we go to my cousin's house for New Mexico night. My mom and her sister grew up there, so to celebrate their background, we eat tamales, enchiladas, pozole, and bizcochitos. And then we have a fun activity like making up our own version of Christmas carols. One year, we even made our own music video. I look forward to it every year.
A favorite Christmas tradition that I've actually married into is that of a live nativity. And my sweet in-laws put on this wonderful nativity with a real donkey and sheep. And because they have 9 children and they're all married and they have tons of kids, like up to 40-something grandchildren, you've got your whole cast of wise men and drummer boys. And this past year, I got to be Mary with my husband because we had a sweet little baby girl who was Jesus for one of the times. And the way the community comes and it's set to music, it's really special, and it gets you truly in the Christmas mood.
My favorite Christmas tradition is my brothers and myself walking to the Circle K near our house on Christmas Eve to buy snacks to help us stay up late and wait for Santa. We did that once when we were little. We bought snacks and then we ate the snacks immediately and fell asleep at the normal time and did not wait up for Santa. But then as adults, we remembered that and decided to make it a new tradition. So every year we go to Circle K and buy some snacks on Christmas Eve and then eat them immediately and go to bed at the regular time.
My favorite Christmas tradition that we do as a family is celebrating Santa Lucia Day. Santa Lucia is a symbol of bringing light into the darkest days of winter. On December 13th, I get to dress up in a white dress with a wreath crown on my head that has candles in it. The night before, my mom and I make sweet rolls. In the morning, I bring the sweet rolls and hot cocoa to all of my family as breakfast in bed.
One of my favorite traditions for Christmas was something my mother used to do when I was a kid, and it's something a lot of families do. We'd pick a neighbor who could use a boost, and we'd do the 12 days of Christmas anonymously. So my mom would pick a family in the neighborhood, and on the first day, there'd be one item of whatever we selected, and on day 2, there would be 2 of that thing, and day 3, 3 of them. All the way to 12 as we got closer to Christmas. And it wasn't just a gift, but my mom would also write a really clever or loving accompanying poem specific to the drop-off to let the recipient know we were thinking of them. Most people never figured out who was leaving this stuff. And as kids, we loved being secretive and sneaky.
It will never cease to amaze me how much joy there is to be found in this season and how many different ways there are to access it. Whether it's releasing balloons or eating bizcochitos or holding baby Jesus in the nativity, there are a million ways to make sweet, simple memories that will last for years to come. At the beginning of the episode, I told you about my favorite Christmas tradition, my husband's piano program. Well, when Christopher was first diagnosed with ALS in 2016, he couldn't use his legs very well. All too quickly, he lost the use of his arms and fingers. We had no idea that his last Christmas program was his last Christmas program. When it was time to practice for the upcoming program, his fingers were already curled, and we were settling into a brand new life of adaptation, constant adaptation. I've spoken before of not handling this particular progression in the disease very well. This one I took personally, and it really shut me up. I couldn't look at the piano, so I had it moved downstairs. I mean, the piano wasn't touched for years. Christopher lived for 4 Christmases without being able to play. We didn't dwell on it, but we listened to the music that he played on our speaker and tried to convince ourselves that it was good enough and that the music he used to play is still our tradition. We just listened to someone else play it now in our home. No formal concert, no dimmed lights, treats waiting in the other room, family gathered around. No need to speak of it. We have so many other traditions to focus on that we can still do, so that one fell away. About a year after Christopher died, I found myself missing things that I hadn't let myself think of for years. And the big one was his piano playing. I just missed it. Not just the music, but the musicality he used when he played and the culture of piano music that our family had in the Christmas concert. Slowly, I began learning some of his songs. I practiced for months to learn my favorite Christmas song, Christopher's song, the one that the whole family knew him for, the one he played no matter the theme each year, Joy by George Winston. And I'm always struck by the irony of that. I could play by Christmas, and so I did, just for our family. And then my oldest, my son Miles, started playing some of his other songs, like The Snowman, that he played when the kids were little. And then my daughter Margaret started playing others. And so we play them together. And my kids listen to Cold is the Night by the Oh Hellos and the entire Sufjan Stevens Christmas album, Christopher's favorite. Slowly, we've built a way to bring back the tradition of something of a piano concert back into our family culture. This year, the 5th Christmas without him, I'm ready to play the piano and have the kids play and choose the songs that are meaningful to them on the instruments they want, and maybe invite some people over to our home and dim the lights and have some treats ready in the next room. Traditions aren't about keeping things exactly the same, but they are about keeping what we love in our lives. So here's hoping your holiday is full of traditions that bring you joy. Merry Christmas from The Lisa Show.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Kenny Mears and Blake Morse, with post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thank you to all of our guests today. If you haven't subscribed to The Lisa Show on YouTube, you can find even more content on our channel, including the Council of Moms. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.